the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think we all know that there's a lot of presumption in the church today, and we talked a little bit last week about Jansenism. Jansenism is the denial of God's mercy with favor upon his justice, where presumption is the opposite. It considers only God to be merciful without any justice. And Jansenism was a heresy that existed 300 years ago and greatly harmed the church, and I'm convinced the pendulum has simply swung to the other side for all the presumption we see today in the church. The Catechism defines it very well: hoping to obtain God's forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit. Presumption is hoping to obtain God's forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit. And we see a lot of problems in the church today. Well, the epistle into today's traditional Latin Mass is Galatians 5, like last week, but it's a few verses later, and we have this interesting line: God will not be mocked. Deus non iridetur is what it says in the Latin for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. God will not be mocked. And we do. We live in a time of everyone mocking God, thinking that he's loving, he has to let me into heaven no matter what I do. But the Apostle Paul continues today, in case the Galatians are deluded, he says, what a man sows, he will reap. In other words, God does not have to let into heaven someone who led a life of mocking God his whole life. Okay, is God infinite mercy? Yes. Is it the year of mercy that I believe in? Yes. But God cannot deny himself that nothing unclean will enter heaven. It's a line right out of Revelation there. Can he forgive anything? Yes, and that's why he gave his confession. But death marks the end of our chance for conversion. And to think otherwise fulfills exactly what the Catechism said about presumption: hoping to obtain God's forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit. And so in a time when we hear a lot about presumption, or rather a lot of presumption, there's actually something really beautiful in today's first reading and that we're going to really look at today. It says in Galatians 5, where we are, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's pretty heavy for Paul to use the term the law of Christ, that for him, this is, in a certain sense, the pinnacle to bear one another's burdens, because in the Old Covenant, it was to bear your own burdens. So what it means for us today, especially as we do recognize the crisis in the church, means don't compromise. Obviously, the first commandment, first great commandment, rather, comes before the second great commandment. But we have to love the church even as you encounter bad leadership. I recently wrote an article for traditional Catholic priests about these four crises, like I said, and I mentioned this exile in Avignon. The third great crisis was when there were two alleged popes, and it took St. Catherine of Siena to bring the papacy back to Italy. And you know why St. Catherine of Siena was able to transform the church and maybe even save the church, if that's not too big of a word? Because she really thought her lack of holiness did this. Not kidding. She who never committed a mortal sin, and maybe, just like a few other saints, like St. Gemma Galgani, according to her spiritual director, who's also up for canonization, he says St. Gemma Galgani never committed a venial sin with consent. But anyway, back to Catherine of Siena. She writes of herself that she was, quote, appearing to herself to be the cause of all the evil that was happening throughout the world. This is in Dialogues, very, very first few pages of Dialogues. She was appearing to herself to be the cause of all the evil that was happening throughout the world. And, you know, speaking of reparation, by the way, this is probably the very best book if you ever want to understand in a 100-page book why Jesus had to die for reparation for sins. But now we look at where we are in the church, everything happening in the world, abortion, trafficking, more death than ever there has been in the history of the world, or at least more murder than there ever has been. Part of that's due to instrumentation. Part of it, I think, is due to literally more demons on the earth because of abortion. But speaking of reparation, if the innocent one, Jesus, did that, then what about us guilty ones? If a saint can look at the problems in the church and really think it was her fault and live a life of the stigmata and constant fasting, then what about us guilty ones? What if we really live like that instead of complaining? Or I look at this, what if I really lived like that instead of complaining? The answer is we would never complain about abortion again, probably. At least it would be very rare. Instead, we'd spend all of our time in prayer and fasting for reparation for that one human family that we're born into in original sin, and for the church that's been so attacked by Satan the past 100 years. This is a really big idea in the East, this idea that we can never claim holiness over others because we all have to answer together. In The Brothers Karamazov, you know, that was written by Dostoevsky. He himself was Orthodox, and he wrote the words of Father Zosima based on a real Orthodox priest. And, you know, even though fictional, these words were a really big part of my own conversion going from high school to university. And listen to these beautiful words of Father Zosima in The Brothers Karamazov. "My friends, pray to God for gladness. Be glad as children, as the birds of heaven, and let not the sin of men confound you in your doings. Fear not that it will wear away your work and hinder its being accomplished. Do not say, sin is mighty, wickedness is mighty, evil environment is mighty, and we are lonely and helpless. An evil environment is wearing us away and hindering our good work from being done. Fly from that dejection, children. There's only one means of salvation. Take yourself up and make yourself responsible for all men's sins. That is the truth, you know, my friends, for as soon as you sincerely make yourself responsible for everything and for all men, you will see at once that it really is so, and that you are to blame for everyone and for all things." Listen to that one more time. "There is only one means of salvation. Then take yourself and make yourself responsible for all men's sins. That is the truth, you know, friends, for as soon as you sincerely make yourself responsible for everything and for all men, you will see at once that it is really so, and that you are to blame for everyone and for all things." And if you think that's just dismissible because it was written by Orthodox, look at exactly what Catherine of Siena says. Well, I think we can also apply this to family life. I mean, most of my listeners out there are based in family life, and I was at a wedding of two of my students from former university, and the dad got up, the dad of the bride, looked at the groom and said, "If you try to live at 50% in the middle of the field with each other every week, it will fail. You both have to live 100% sacrifice at all times." And that really moved me because it made me realize that in any vocation in life, if we're looking for pure justice and just what is our due, if we're unwilling to bear the burdens of those around us, then we might just get pure justice when we come face to face with God. And I don't think any of my listeners want that. I know I don't want that for my life. Well, today's gospel, I think the real connection in this is that this miracle that Jesus works. So he sees this funeral procession, and there's the coffin, or as they say in the old translations, the bier. And Jesus raises this young man. He's the only son of his mom. Just raises him right from the dead as his mother's weeping. I mean, can you imagine seeing this, how exceptional this would be? And someone pointed out to me once, I think it was in seminary, that every other time in the gospel, Jesus waits for us to ask. He waits for us to ask for the miracle to exercise his miraculous power. And that happens both today through our prayers, especially the prayers of the saints, people like Padre Pio who raised the dead. And then obviously back then in Jesus' sacred humanity, we look at all the times in the gospel and he's just ready to release this infinite miraculous power, but he waits for people to ask. Well, not today. Not today. He just simply goes up and raises this young man from the dead. And he goes and he gives life, even though his mom hasn't even asked or even had the chance to ask for this miracle yet. Where does this young man's death go? Remember, we're talking a little bit about reparation. And again, you can really understand if you read dialogues by St. Catherine of Siena that someone's got to foot the bill. And so who foot the bill for this young man's death? Because all death comes from sin. Even if it was in his own personal sin, there is original sin, which we share with the whole human family. That really ties into that line from Catherine of Siena feeling guilty for the problems in the church in the 14th century and what Father Zosima fictionally said. So if Jesus takes this young man's death, where does it go? Here's the answer. Jesus takes it. Jesus dies in the young man's place. It said this young man was the only son of his mother. And so did Jesus see his own mother in this? Did Jesus see Mary in this woman bearing her own son? How Jesus would be one day. Such love that he takes it upon himself. And this is obviously the supreme example of what Paul says today, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What if we acted like that in families instead of seeking justice? What if we acted like that in the church to say, I heard this priest give a heretical homily. I'm going to fast on bread and water for him on Friday. And not in a self-righteous way, but almost in that way that Catherine Siena just blows my mind, almost in a sense I really have a hard time even understanding what she meant by this, that she was appearing to herself to be the cause of all the evil that was happening throughout the world. I don't exactly get it, but I trust her because she's a saint and I'm not, and that we should live a little bit closer to this. Let's finish with just one more thought on this young man who was raised from the dead. Father Gisani was one of the favorites of Pope Benedict, and he has a great meditation here. And he refers to the man. In this, he's actually referring to Jesus' sacred humanity. So when we hear this term, the man and how exceptional he is, he's not talking about the young man who was raised from the dead. He's talking about Jesus and how every moment of his life was so exceptional. Women, don't weep. It seems like a joke to say, women, don't weep, to a mother who is following the bier of her only son. But it was not a joke. Who knows what that man would do? Who knows how he did it? Who knows how? He was exceptional. Notice that our heart, which is made for the infinite, needs first of all that which is exceptional in order to breathe, in order to face up to things, in order to resist, in order to live truly. It needs what is exceptional. The exceptional should be every day. The exceptional, that is to say, what corresponds to yourself, corresponds truly to your heart. With that man, it happened like this. The way he spoke, the way he looked, corresponded deeply to your heart. He was exceptional. Woman, don't weep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.